So anyway, all right, let's open our Bibles for a few minutes to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1. This got big to me. Just really, I hadn't even studied out because I wasn't planning on preaching it tonight. I've just been studying on it a little bit, jotting a few things down. But what really got on my mind here, and you'll see where we're looking at, Brother Randy, I know, has looked at this passage of Scripture. Anytime you deal with the Scripture and it relates to Bible inspiration or the preservation of the Scripture, these verses here comes up. Verse number 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came, listen to this verse, it's going to be a verse that we're going to look at. It says, verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Notice that, by the will of man, but holy men of God. Now, I want you to underscore, at least mentally, that passage right there, that statement. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'll help us tonight. And we pray, Lord, you'll take the message and that, Lord, you'll be pleased to challenge our heart with that. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Ben and the message and challenging our heart again about our sacrifice and being well-pleasing, a sweet-smelling savor in your eyes and your ears, your nose, and your life. You look upon us. May you smile. Would you be pleased, dear Lord, with us? I pray now that you'll just challenge us with this message, this little truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse number 21, of course we know we have a Bible because verse 21 tells us how that we got the Bible. The word inspiration means God breathed, and we do believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for proof, correction, and so forth. But notice this, and this is the statement, this is a statement that got on me this week, and I was thinking about this verse of Scripture. It said there that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Man didn't design it. Man didn't just decide to do it. It wasn't man just coming up with it and writing it down. But notice what it said, that came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And Brother Jeter, the thought that came on my mind strong this week, and I've been meditating on it some, is these men were not holy by sovereignty. I want you to get that. I want you to think on that. Write it down in your mind. These men that God used, I want to emphasize that. These men, Brother Lucas, that God used. Okay, Brother Ben just talked about God wants to use us. If we would be the sacrifice, if we'd be that sweet smelling fragrance in the nose of God, so to speak, he could do anything he wants to with us. These men that God used, and there were approximately about 40 different authors, or 44 different authors, covering about 20 different centuries, and they were all in unity and everything, but the fact that God used holy men. And my statement again was, these men were not holy by sovereignty. God did not make them holy. They were holy men because they were men of choice, men of commitment. Somewhere in their life, they got serious with God. Somewhere in their life, they did business with God and were committed to God, and the Bible said they were holy men. God used them because they were holy men. How important, the question is tonight, how important is holiness to you? We know, Brother Ivan, how important holiness is to God. You take away his holiness, Brother Randy, you've destroyed God. Amen. It is His essence. God is holy. Every one of His attributes comes out of that one. Amen. He is holy. We know how important it is for God to be holy. But as Brother Ben mentioned, and when the more he stood up here, the more I thought, oh no, Lord, surely You're not going to have me to deal with this. But how important is holiness to us? How important is purity to us? How important is sanctification to us? God used holy men. What if we know that God's not writing a Bible today? We have the complete Word of God. We are confident of that. We are not in no way questioning that. But what if God was needing to write a book today? What if God was needing to pen down Scripture today and He was looking for holy people to do it with? Wonder how successful that'd be. Huh? Did these men, when they surrendered to the Lord, Brother Fultz, did they know, well, I'm surrendering to the Lord because God's going to use me to write the book of Exodus. Or God's going to use me to pen down this book or that book or whatever. No, they were just serving the Lord and devoted themselves to the Lord. And God looked down. And here's another good example of purity is Mary. I don't believe Mary made her choices through her early life. I don't believe she's saying, you know what? I'm going to have to really make sure I'm pure. I'm going to have to make sure I don't defile myself because, you know, God's going to send His Son through me one day. I don't believe that. I believe that she was just making choices based on her love for the Lord and her desire to be pure, her desire to be holy, and God looked down and saw that and chose Mary to be the mother of our Lord. Amen. These holy men that God used to pen down the Bible, I believe God looked down and saw, man, there's a holy man. There's somebody that loves me. There's somebody that has sacrificed themselves. There's somebody that's put themselves on the altar, and I want to use them. And think of this, Brother Silas, we're still benefiting today from it. We're still benefiting today from some 44 men, 44 people that had committed their lives to the Lord to be holy. God said they were holy men. I used holy men. I used holy men, holy people. And by the way, that's all God uses. That's the only ones, Brother Ben, that's the only ones God will ever use is holy people. And boy, we're in a day when that is not emphasized. The majority of preaching today does not emphasize that in the least. In fact, the big dominant churches of our day are very carnal, very loose, and very worldly. Amen. That's right. And amen. That Rock Springs mess down there in Anderson, South Carolina, I wouldn't let that man pray with my dogs. But TBN and all that religious, the big mainstream contemporary loose living Christianity emphasis, they think he hung the moon. Rewrote the Ten Commandments. Rewrote the Ten Commandments. What was wrong with them? What was wrong with them the way God had them? Rewrote them, and when I read them, they had absolutely zero relation to what the original, what the Ten Commandments are in our Bible. But they praise Him. Oh man, they praise Him. Have His band playing AC/DC, Highway to Hell on their platform. I mean, but they praise Him. Amen. But I want to tell you, friend, listen, holiness is a thing of the past. Amen. And your flesh don't want it, I promise you that. But that just simple thought there, these men were not holy because of sovereignty, but they were holy because of submission. They were holy because of sacrifice. They were holy because they said yes to the Lord and no to their flesh. Do you want to be used in the future? Do you? Individually? Young people, do you want to be used in the future? God's, that is in the making now. These holy men, before they ever had a pen in their hand to write down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit the Scriptures, they were already holy men. Already. Not by sovereignty, Brother Preston. It wasn't because God made them that way. It's because they chose it. They were holy men. They were people that desired purity and holiness in their life. And always remember this. I've said it before. When God wants to work in your life, He's always got the future in mind. When God is trying to work in your life and mine, and He's trying to work holiness in us, and He's trying to work sanctification and surrender and submission and those things in our life, He's always got somebody in mind. He's wanting you to influence. He's wanting you to reach. He's wanting your light to shine in their life. But on the other hand, when the devil is trying to work rebellion in you, the devil's trying to work disobedience in you, the devil's trying to work carnality in you, give you a desire to crave after the carnal things of this life instead of the purity of God, the holiness of God, and sanctification with God, the devil also has other people in mind. And there's no telling how many people will be in hell forever because of the influence of carnal professing believers. No telling. Amen. But they were holy men. And look at it, this verse. I don't have time to deal with it. But it said they were holy men. And the Bible said, but holy men of God spake as, watch this, this is key, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Moved by the Holy Spirit. Bore along by the Holy Spirit. I want you to turn to Acts 27 real quick. I'm right now done. I know y'all can't believe that, but Acts 27. Don't get spoiled on that. Acts 27. Got to be obedient. Look at verse 17. And we know this is the story dealing with the great storm and shipwreck and so forth. But I want you, the word that is used in 1 Peter 1 and verse number, or 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, where the Bible said that they were moved. Brother Randy probably already knows this because he studies on this, on his ministry of defending the King James Bible. And they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That word moved, the same word is used in Acts 27, verse number 17. Which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall in the quicksands, straight sailed, and so were, here's the word, driven. You get an idea of what the Holy Spirit moving these men meant by looking at the storm and the force and the power of the storm as it drove the ship in Acts 27:17. If we're going to be holy men and holy women and holy young people, then the Holy Spirit of God must be able to move you. The Holy Spirit of God must be able to drive you. Amen. You could say in Acts 27 that ship was going in the direction it was being drove. If we're going to be holy people that God can use, we need to be going in the direction that the Spirit of God is moving us in. Amen. And by the way, if the Holy Spirit's moving you, I promise you it's in a Godward direction. Look at your life. Look at the choices you are making. I've looked at some here lately, and I've looked at things that's surfacing in their life. And you know what? The question I want to ask, where is the Holy Ghost in all of that? I told my wife this week, I said, I'd love to see somebody just get saved and hit the ground running and live for the Lord. I'd love to see that. I'm so sick of seeing people on and off and in and out and up and down. So sick of seeing them seemingly praise the Lord, and then the next thing you know, they're in full speed down the broad road of this world. Amen. I'm sick of that. And I'm just a human being. Can you imagine how sick God is? But they were holy men, and I believe they were holy men, one, because the Holy Spirit could move them. Can the Holy Spirit move you? Does the Holy Spirit move you? Is He driving you? Is he charting your course? That ship was going in the direction it was going in because of the wind that was behind it. In Acts 3, or not Acts 3, but Acts 2, and then also in John 3, you know, we have the Holy Spirit likened unto wind. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So it's everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's the wind of the Holy Spirit moving you. Amen. Or is the world moving you? Anyway, that was what was on my heart. Amen. God was, and He did look for holy men to give us His word. Look at this. I wrote it down like this. God looked for holy men to give His word to, but now God's looking for holy people that He can give His word through. Amen. Amen. They were called holy men, and I want you to understand the fact that they were called men. They were not holy robots. They were holy men. Men with a free will. Men that lived in the same world that you're living in. Men that faced a lot of things, trials, temptations that you and I face today. But the Bible said they were holy men. God help us to realize how important holiness is. How important it is for us to say no to sin and yes to the Savior. Amen. God will not use you unless, as Brother Ben pointed it out, unless you're holy. Let me give you these scriptures and I'm done. Leviticus 20 and verse 7. Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I the Lord your God, for I am the Lord your God. 1 Peter 1:15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The word conversation means behavior. Verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That is not a suggestion. That is not a recommendation. That's a command. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Everybody get that? He's not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given in us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 2 Corinthians 7 in verse 1, following right into the ending of chapter 6 when he deals with separation, the importance of separation. Separate, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. That separation is God's idea. And he says in that chapter 7 verse 1, having therefore these promises. What promises? Chapter 6, those closing verses, God said, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. And he said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. God's looking for holy people. God's looking for an individual. God used John the Baptist because he was a man that was given to holiness. God used the Apostle Paul, penned down, what was it? 13, if Hebrews was included, 14 books of our New Testament. And man, look at Paul's writings. He's hitting sin. He's hitting holiness. He's telling us that we need to be pure. Amen. Lord, listen, let me ask you this. What is your attitude toward sin? What is your attitude toward being distant from God? Amen. Sinners are lost, but they're not stupid. Sinners are lost, but they're not stupid. They know when you're not right. And they know when you're not real. And there's nothing any more repulsive and detestable to a sinner than for somebody to profess one thing and live another. And I'm not a sinner, but I'm going to tell you that right now, that makes me sick. That makes me sick. Amen? When I see somebody straddling the fence and walking in the middle of the road and you know, just trying to live two lives and try to court two worlds, and that makes me sick. I'll just tell you, that makes me sick. Amen. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. I want to encourage you tonight that God's looking for somebody that'll say, Lord, I'm not perfect, but I do want to hate sin in my life. What is my attitude towards sin? Do I want to be holy so that God can use me? That's basically what Brother Ben preached too. Am I wanting to be holy so God can use me? God used holy men of old, holy men of God that was being able to be moved, Brother Randy, by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit won't move you now if you're not holy. The Holy Spirit won't move you, and the Holy Spirit won't use you if you're not holy. God help us. God help us. Amen. And that's going to be a battle you'll fight the rest of your days. Being holy. Because the devil and the world we live in is a corrupt world, buddy. Its design is to corrupt you and to influence you. Amen. That's one of the reasons we come to church. Hear this blessed holy Bible preached to us. Amen. And try to bring our life into alignment with the Scripture. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Ben, for preaching to us tonight, challenging our heart about being a sacrifice for the Lord. And just let that drive deep in your heart. If you don't remember nothing else, just that one statement. These holy men that God used were not holy by sovereignty. Amen. They were holy practically. They were just men just like you and I. They were human beings like you and I in the same world we live in. But they made choices to be holy. They had a desire to be holy before God. And I've never seen God use anybody that wasn't holy. That don't mean you're perfect now. You'll never reach that status in this life. But we ought to desire to be holy. We ought to hate sin in our life and desire to be Christ-like and desire to please the Lord. Amen? And God will use you one day. God will use you. And when He does, you'll be glad that you made choices to be holy in your life. Amen. Guarantee you, when Mary was the mother of our Lord, Brother Silas, I guarantee you, she said, thank God. Thank God I didn't listen to that boy back yonder years ago. I'm glad I didn't go this direction. I'm glad I didn't go that direction. I'm glad I went with the Lord. I'm glad I chose, when there was a choice, I'm glad I chose to go the holy direction. And when God needed a big event, when God needed something done, He looked for a little teenage girl that had made commitments in her life to be pure. When God needed to give us a Bible, He looked for holy men. Men that were holy by choice, holy by commitment. And Lord says, I'm going to use them. I'm going to use them. Amen. I want to be meat for the Master's use. I want to be a vessel of honor, sanctified, purged, cleansed, so that God can use me. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you so much for being in the Lord.